Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 25. Shnai Shnaro Paramed. Pudya Driti Grihitaya. Atma Samstamana Kritva. Na Kinchit Api Chintaya. Shnai. Gradually. Shnai. Step by step. Uparamet. One should hold back. Budya. By intelligence. Driti Grihitaya. Carried by conviction. Atma Samstam. Placed in transcendence. Manaha, mind. Kritva, making. Na, not. Kinchit, anything else. Api, even. Chintayat, should think of. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction. Thus, the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Purport, by proper conviction and intelligence, one should gradually cease sense activities. This is called pratyahara. The mind being controlled by conviction, meditation, and cessation from the senses should be situated in trance or samadhi. At that time, there is no longer any danger of becoming engaged in the material conception of life. In other words, although one is involved with matter, as long as the material body exists, one should not think about sense gratification. One should think of no pleasure aside from the pleasure of the Supreme Self. This state is easily obtained by directly practicing Krishna consciousness. Shnai Shnaro Paramed Buddhya Drita Grihitaya Arma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchera Bichintaya. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Here are the four ingredients I mentioned. One of them is conviction, the other is meditation, and then there is engagement, cessation of the senses. Actually, there's three. And that leads to trance. So how to develop that conviction and that meditation? Of course, that takes suitable practice, as Krishna said, And later on in this chapter, actually, because Arjuna was asking him that, you talk about this conviction, about this steadily fixing the mind upon Krishna, gradually, step by step, with full conviction. One should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction. This mind should think of the self alone and nothing else. So you're talking about that, but chanchalam himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam Tasyaham Nigraham Manye Vayor Iva Diskritam. But the mind is restless, turbulent, very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. So Krishna doesn't disagree with him. He doesn't say, Arjuna, you're in Maya, you know, grow up. And he says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asam Shayam Mahabaho, Manodara Nirgraham Chalam, Abhyasena Tukundiya, Vara Agyena Trigriyatam, Asam Shayatmana Yogo, Dusprapiti Mehmati, Vashatmana Tu Yatata, Vaisho Sapta, Vaisho Sapta, Vaisho. Vaishya. Parashatmana tuyatata shakyo baptum apayata. So Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work, but he who strives, but he who controls his mind and strives by right means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Now, we're hearing this part about the Ashtanga Yoga conviction. So how do we get conviction? What is conviction in our terminology? Or in Sanskrit, it's vijnana. There's theoretical knowledge, and by theoretical knowledge, it's not quite conviction, but it's part of the equation to get conviction. Or as Krishna says in the 14th chapter, that for one who can see things as they are, the influence of the three modes of material nature gradually ceases. So what is that verse? 14th chapter. Nanyan gunevyas kartaram drashteva upashiti gunevyas chapram veti madhavam sodagashiti. Well, one can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature, and that the Supreme Lord is in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to these modes, then he can understand my transcendental nature. So for one who can see things as they are, the influence of the three modes of material nature gradually ceases. Activities performed in knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. In other words, we hear, and as explained many times, we hear and we have to keep on hearing until we remember something. Because ultimately what will purify us if we are absorbed in remembering Krishna with the right attitude of devotion. So we have to keep on hearing because our tendency is to forget because we don't hear. If we actually could hear, we wouldn't forget. But because we can't hear, therefore we forget all the time. If we were actually interested in the subject matter, we'd hear. And if we're not so interested, we can't hear. So interested in Krishna consciousness depends upon taste. Visha vinivartante, niraharasi deinam, rasa varjamrasopyasya, param drishva nivartate. The inviting soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So it depends upon, in our past, how much of a higher taste will we experience that will give us some expectation of experiencing a higher taste right now. And then, when we want to experience a higher taste, if we've experienced a higher taste in the past, we'll meditate, how did I get into that higher taste? What did I have to do to get into what state of consciousness or activity or something get that higher taste? We'll become interested. What is the technique of getting that higher taste? And as we learn the technique, quote, technique of getting the higher taste, then we'll become convinced that if I do this or that, or I think in this way or that way, then Krishna will bestow his mercy upon me and I'll get a higher taste. So that's called conviction. It's one of the aspects of symptoms of bhava. Shantira avyarta kalajvam virakta manushunyataha ashabanda samudkanta. One of them is expecting Krishna's mercy and eager to get Krishna's mercy. Expecting it. In other words, it's not that Krishna is equal to some and he's not equal to others. And that there's some people are gifted and they become Krishna conscious, and I'm not so gifted, so it'll take me a long time. Or Krishna likes some people's face and he doesn't like mine, so therefore he won't reveal himself to me. No, actually Krishna consciousness is based upon many factors, doing the right thing, thinking the right thing, having the right attitude, and developing it. Giving up anukulasya sankalpe, doing the right thing, finding out what the right things are to do, and then pratikulyasya varjana. And try to give up things that are not so helpful for becoming Krishna conscious. In other words, if one is actually convinced that I should become Krishna conscious, then one will do things that will help one become Krishna conscious. And then put aside the things that actually take our mind away from Krishna. So that's gradual. It's not that it happens all at once, but one thing at a time, at least one thing at a time. Every day we should try to accept one thing and put aside something else. Then gradually the conviction comes when we can actually experience how Krishna will actually protect us from Maya especially, and Krishna will maintain our Krishna consciousness. So that depends upon our developing the proper desire, which is based upon the experience, which is based upon knowledge, which is based upon utilizing that knowledge in the proper activities, gives us Krishna's mercy. And we get Krishna's mercy, we become convinced that there's such a thing as Krishna's mercy, bliss, knowledge, eternity. And then we learn the technique of how to enter, how to get Krishna's mercy more consistently and more intently, more intensively. Now we're starting from somewhere. Therefore there's a stage called smarana, five stages of progressive Krishna smarana. So our whole philosophy is just to teach us where we're at now, where the goal is, and what the different stages are, and if we can just understand what my next stage is and try to get there, then we'll keep ourselves busy and we'll gradually get there. The problem is when we get somewhere and we lay back and think, well, I accomplished so much and I deserve a 3-year vacation. Something else bothers me, I'll call on Krishna again. So this complacency is, and then by the complacency we become careless, and by that carelessness we get ourselves into trouble and we're back begging for Krishna's mercy. So the point is that if we have a regulated devotional service, regulated sadhana, and we keep on hearing, try to get something, derive something that will help me. You know, what I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing, what I should be doing that I'm doing, and then take it one at a time. So we start doing what we're supposed to be doing a little bit more every day, and we're stopping to do what we're not supposed to be doing a little bit more every day. We're supposed to do the things that help us remember Krishna, or should stop the things that take our mind away from Krishna. Then the result is that gradually we'll get the conviction that I should be stopping the things that taking my mind away from Krishna. I should be doing the things that help me remember Krishna. That's called conviction. And then the result is, guess what? We'll remember Krishna. Lo and behold, we'll actually remember Krishna, which happens to be what we're trying to do. Smarta vyaksaratam vishnura vismakta jatuna kinchit sarvavidhi nishedya syor etiya eva kinkara. That the teachers of the spiritual science, they only have to teach us two things. How to always remember Krishna, and the second thing is how to never forget him. That's what sadhana bhakti is all about. And by doing that, one comes to bhava bhakti, ecstasy, ecstatic emotions towards Krishna, and that's the goal of what we're doing. Now we can make it very complicated, you know, so much philosophy, we're doing this and that. But ultimately it gets down to how much we remember Krishna and not forgetting him. And then if we remember Krishna, we're in ecstasy, we're actually at least experiencing higher taste. There are three stages of devotional service and three different progressive higher tastes. Does anyone know what they are for the nectar of devotion? What are the six state? What are the six characteristics of pure devotional service?
That destroys suffering, creates all auspiciousness, derives happiness from liberation. These ones.
Moksha lagu krit.
Lagu takrit. Sudurlava is very rare, and Sandramanda condemns bliss, Sri Krishna Karshini Chasan, and attracting Krishna himself.
Yes. So, out of the three of them, they deal with transcendental happiness. One of them is Surlabha.
Sudurlabha.
No, that's too high. Sulabha. No. All auspicious.
Shubhada.
All auspicious. So one of the characteristics of all auspiciousness is that it gives us a happiness greater than material happiness. So that we have to, that's on sadhana bhakti. Not only the klesha agni, it frees us from suffering, from the tendency to performing sinful activities, to perform the bija, kuta, bija, parabdha, not parabdha, karma, kuta, and avidya. By transcendental knowledge, the tendency towards sin is destroyed. And when the tendency towards sin is destroyed, we're not performing karmic activities, and we're not being influenced by our past tendencies towards sinful activities, and therefore we gradually become purified. But that's negative. On the positive, Shubhada. Yeah, all auspiciousness. Subhada. So there are different characteristics of Subhada. One of them is it's all attractive, attracts everyone. The other one is it's all auspicious. And it gives one all good qualities. And the last thing, it gives us a higher taste of material happiness. So that's at the stage of just sadhana bhakti. But at the stage of bhava bhakti, then there's moksha lagu krit, which means that the happiness is so great, it derives the happiness found in liberation. Now we can't even imagine the happiness in liberation, but it is said that the maximum happiness, material happiness we can experience here, it was multiplied 1,000 times, or something like that, I can't say the exact number. That's the happiness they're experiencing in Indraloka. And the happiness in Indraloka is multiplied 1,000 times, but equal to the happiness of Marhaloka. And if the happiness of Marhaloka is multiplied 1,000 times, it would equal to the happiness that's found in Siddhaloka, Tapaloka, and Janaloka. And that happiness is multiplied 1,000 times, equal to the happiness that's found in Brahmaloka. And if that happiness is multiplied 1,000 times, it's equal to the happiness in Brahman. And if the happiness in Brahman will multiply 100 trillion times, it would equal to an atomic fraction in one drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness and pure devotional service. So if you think we've already experienced Krishna consciousness, there's not so much to look forward to. We're wrong. Unless you're already, even Bhava Bhakti, which is one ray in the sunlight of prema, even Bhava Bhakti prema is so inconceivable that actually if anyone obtains the state of prema, he never comes back to the material consciousness again. There's no more material consciousness, or even a possibility of it. So that ultimately it's that higher taste that drives one on. Well, one gets a higher taste and he wants more of it. And by getting more of it, then he'll be willing to sacrifice things that were giving him happiness before to get happiness, superior happiness. So everything depends on superior happiness. And that depends upon at least hearing about superior happiness and taking the plunge, taking the risk of giving up temporary happiness for something which is superior. But that generally only happens when one has experience of some superior happiness. If you talk to someone about Krishna consciousness, just an ordinary person, and talk about how happy it is, then all they can say is try to equate it to whatever happiness they experience. You can't experience something that you haven't experienced. But if you hear about it, then you may try it out to see if you can get some happiness from it. Or in our case, we start out with something like a Gyati Sukriti. You give someone some prasadam and they like it. So then they come to the temple to get some more. And when they come to the temple, they may hear some kirtan and they may like the music. But the kirtan is Krishna, hopefully. They hear Krishna and they associate with Krishna and they like Krishna. Which means they're getting a higher taste. And then they may hear the philosophy and they may make some sense. Yes, my body is changing, but I'm not changing. I must be eternal. And if I'm eternal, I should try to become eternally happy rather than just temporarily happy. So by such hearing, by such experience, then you find out you got to give up something, like giving up eating meat. But we don't say just giving up eating meat. You have to learn how to cook prasadam, take prasadam. We say you don't have to give up intoxication. You have to become intoxicated on the holy name. We don't say you give up love. You have to develop love for Krishna. So you have to take substitute, try it out, substitute one thing for another, and if you get a higher taste, then you automatically can give up the lower taste. But that takes the ability to get conviction depends upon one's willingness to follow the process. Gradually follow the process. And as one gets experience in Krishna consciousness, the conviction grows, and then one is more willing to focus the mind upon Krishna instead of like dwelling in our anxieties, what's going to happen to me. Everyone knows what's going to happen to us. We're going to die soon. You worry about what's going to happen to you. You don't have to worry about it. It's inevitable. Whether you worry about it or not, it's going to happen. No one likes to hear that. Oh, me and sannyasi. But if one is aware of that conviction, then naturally one will say, oh my God, I'm going to die, but think about Krishna. That's also part of the conviction. So then one will refocus the mind upon Krishna again. And then, instead of doing the things that draw our mind away from Krishna, one will do only those things that will help us remember Krishna. Because if we do things that will, if you go to a soccer game right now, you'll probably forget the whole lecture. Or you go to the movies. Or, more available to us, when no one's looking on your iPhone, you kind of like, see what time, what the latest preview of some movie is. The Avengers or something. So then the mind goes away from Krishna. But if there is conviction, there's actually experience of Krishna by meditation, then one will be less inclined to go through all these things, to get some taste from these other things that draw the mind that have nothing, little to do with Krishna. And then eventually, like Prabhupada, was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even if he watched a movie like Charlie Chaplin, he remembered Krishna. But I don't think most of us on that level will remember everything except for Krishna. And then gradually this idea of gratifying the senses in some way will go away when we're actually gratified in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, today we were studying, we were doing answers for the Gita exam, And we came to the question which is about five stages of Brahman realization. So we are kind of curious. It's like when you go to jnana, maya realization, if you just practice jnana, maya realization, how can you then realize that you are a spirit soul?
Well, you can't. It's anamaya, manamaya, pranamaya, manamaya, jnanamaya, vijnanamaya, and anamaya.
Yeah.
You only realize who you are. I mean, at the stage of vijnanamaya, you can understand the difference between man and spirit. But to actually realize who we are, it's only anandamaya. We realize Krishna. We can't realize who we are until we realize Krishna. Because our identity is intimately related with Krishna. We have some relation with Krishna. We have no other real identity except for what our relation with Krishna is.
Maybe my question was wrong. Like, that's the true realization of who we truly are. But it's mentioned you realize that you are separate from the thinking, willing, and.
That doesn't mean you realize who. Even that who you're not.
And like a soul.
But as far as Varian is, and a vijnanamaya, vijnana means realized knowledge. Jnana is the theoretical stage. Anamaya is absorption in food for existence. Pranamaya is relying on breath, that you're breathing, therefore you're alive. And jnanamaya is the civilized stage, when you're understanding that you have to control your mind and senses and engage in some kind of progress. And when you come to the vijnana stage, then you actually realize that you're not this body, that you're a spiritual being. Well, I guess someone could make it more complicated. And an anandamaya is you're actually thinking about Krishna, therefore you're an ananda. You understand Paramatma and Bhagavan. Vijnanamaya, you may understand super soul, but you may not know who the super soul is, that he's none different from Krishna.
So it is like with the regulation of the senses, then you realize that you are a soul.
Well, we always thought about Krishna. Then we realize everything. All you do is have to think about Krishna 24 hours a day. And your life will be perfect. That's all. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to learn anything else. You don't have to do anything. You just have to think about Krishna all the time. Then your life is perfect. Mm-hmm. And everything we're doing is simply to help them. That's all. Yeah, Krishna is, he's captivated the entire spiritual world. He could probably captivate us too. His Sunandarananda Vikshnik Atma is inconceivable transcendental happiness contained in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. So, even if you remember Krishna 23 hours a day, be quite happy too. So you put in the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter, but if you keep on taking it out, it never gets hot enough to make any difference. But if you put in a fire and then take it out and put in ice water, you wonder why I'm not getting into the fire, why it's still not enlivened in Krishna consciousness, because we're just dabbling, we're putting our, there's an ocean of bliss and we put our little finger in it. I'm not ready to dive in yet. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.